Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Well, well, well. Valentine's Day is over and now you're fucked. No more love, no more romance. You're just stuck listening to me for the rest of your fucking life. What? What, Danny? What? That made no sense. I apologize. Just some non sequitur nonsense garbage to kick off the pod. Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. That's my name. And, you know, this is episode like fucking 370 some shit, dude. Not sure why. Just continuing to record these. I heard that, I think once Apple Podcast starts doing transcription services across the globe, I think that might be a real big boost to podcasting, you know? Because if people can read a transcript or have closed captioning under your words, if you speak a different language than they do, wouldn't that kind of democratize the playing field of how podcasts are consumed and understood across the globe? Wow, am I a genius? That was really smart, hon. Good job. Was it? Not really. All right. Oh, wait. Have I talked about the Training Day video that Dua Lipa has out now? Oh, my God, you guys. It's so good. There's probably only like 5 to 10 people on this, I assume, that were on like Dua Lipa's like text list. And like on Friday, I think it was on Friday. Yeah, like 10 minutes before, or not training day, training season. 10 minutes before the training season video was going to be released, she sent a group text to all of us saying, hey, for the next 10 minutes, it's only available to people on this list. And then I clicked on it and it's true. I was like number 8,000 to listen to that on the whole fucking world, dude. It's just like her like in this coffee shop and it's all these dudes trying to like get with her, which to be honest with you, wasn't a big fan of that, you know? I mean, she's got her lifelong partner already nailed down. So I don't know why we have to do all these like, I mean, I guess she's trying to like, you know, I guess this is like, is she like manipulating me a little bit with this video? Like whatever, Dua, you know, I get it. Okay, I'm looking at my little notes. Oh, I guess first of all, I should talk about shows this week. Black Cat, LES, this Friday. What is that? February 23rd. The lineup this week is sick. Last week was awesome. Just like just the right amount of people. Like the room was full. Everybody's having a good time. The comics are killing. This week we have Charles McBee, Kevin Iso, Darren Passarello, Caroline Haynes, Kenny Circa, Daniela Mora, Alex Pavone, Jeff Cerulli, Zach McGovern. It's quite a lineup, my friends. You can get tickets at Black Cat Comedy on Instagram. The link is in the bio. Okay, I set up this whole like Eventbrite campaign thing. So that's happening. That's something. That's fun. I was watching the Smells Like Teen Spirit video for the, I almost said umpteenth, but I hate when people say umpteenth. Like, dude, shut up. Umpteenth. But it's just such a banging song. And I think I mentioned last week that there's this couple videos of like Dave Grohl just playing the drums for Smells Like Teen Spirit as he listens to Kurt Cobain on the song track, a lead track, whatever. That's badass. And it's just like, that whole song is like, it's pure like rebellious energy, but it also has structure and conformity because it has a beat, you know? I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, it's an expression of anarchy and like dissatisfaction, just fuck the world, but it's also never misses one beat. So there's still structure to it. I don't know. Is that deep? Could that be deep? I also think maybe that maybe Hit Me Baby One More Time is the greatest song ever written. I mean, and then I was like, oh, what about like some Bob Dylan or like Neil Young shit? But like just the concise nature of the words, the call and response chorus, and the way that it ends on a perfect da-na-na-na. It's just, I don't know, dude. That's my opinion. I'm not sure why anybody would listen to this. Frankly, I don't support this podcast growing. I don't think it deserves it. All right. It's funny because the listeners of Oops, the podcast that Giulio Gallarotti hosts, some of them now follow me on Instagram. And then I post these like music videos late at night. Not music videos. I post like Spotify songs. A lot of times in the weekend, if I'm a little boozed up, I have a new rule for myself. Like, I'm not going to post anything because I get too like sentimental if I'm drinking. And then I wake up the next day and just like pictures of like trees on the street in the East Village. I'm like, dang, no one wants to look at this like borderline grainy image, dog. it's not beautiful. It's just goofy. So then I started posting songs from Spotify onto my Instagram stories. And this girl who's an Oops fan just messaged me, Danny, go to bed. Which I thought was great because she knows that I like to stay up late. It's just kind of funny to have like strangers around the country kind of having a bead on your personality. And then maybe one day they'll marry me. I think that girl's a boyfriend. I can't remember. All right. Next topic. Here we go. I saw this quote on a SportsCenter from Doc Rivers. He's now coaching the Milwaukee Bucks. I think, he used to coach the 76ers. I don't know what happened. Do you have this thing like I pay attention to some news, but not all news. And then like half the stories that happen, I'm like, oh, huh. So that's a change from what was the reality earlier. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder why that happened. And then I never research it. You just go your whole life having a vague understanding of world events because you're too lazy to research why they happened. It's like, fuck it. Why do I got to look up some thing from the past when I can just watch SportsCenter highlights now? You know what I mean? I'm not going in the past, especially on that kind of mundane. What's the word? On that mundane minutia. Oh, wow. Alliteration. You're a real genius. I am, baby. Oh, anyways. So Doc Rivers was talking about the performance of his players one night in a game recently. And he goes, some guys were here. Some guys were in Cabo. I thought that was a pretty funny line. Just like on a beach, not paying attention. Sorry, coach. I'm in Cabo. All right. I just basically repeated the line. So, you know. Oh, I've cried from beauty. I've realized this now recently. I've cried from beauty twice in my life. Twice. How many times have you cried from beauty? Can you count them up? Have you cried from beauty before? First time I cried from beauty, Kensington Gardens in London. First time I ever went there. Second time I cried from beauty, Parc Güell in Barcelona. Not even at the park. Later in my hotel room, cried from beauty. So that's how sensitive I am, ladies. Okay? So just slide my DMs anytime and I'll fucking cry in your apartment. I was listening to this guy on a podcast, Chris Williamson. I like this guy a lot. Podcaster, YouTube, and club promoter. He's the host of the Modern Wisdom podcast, which I have not listened to yet, and I want to do that. He was saying that he breaks his life down into times that are focused. He calls himself I'm serotonin Chris, I'm cortisol Chris, I'm dopamine Chris. And he tries to spend as much time as he can being serotonin Chris and not the other two. Cortisol, obviously the stress hormone, anxiety, but also can, you know, it's like when you're like reading, checking your emails and getting tasks done, not necessarily a bad thing, but you don't want to spend like, it's not where you want to spend all or most of your time. And then dopamine is probably more like, you know, a couple cocktails, like listening to a great song, watching a great movie with your wife or friends or whatever, like that kind of thing. But then serotonin is just kind of like calm. I'm not really carrying this analogy all the way through. But you know what I mean? I agree. More time in serotonin, slightly less time in dopamine, although dopamine is tight. And then cortisol on the bottom of the list, unless you're trying to get shit done. Basically, you need a balance between the three, but serotonin is probably the most compelling and appealing. So the Houthis are shooting at us in the Red Sea, by the way. So, okay, here we go. Next topic. Okay. All right. I was going to talk about this little story that I read. And I don't know. I guess I don't have as much content this week as I did last week. I don't know. And then sometimes if I don't have as much content one week, I'm like, oh, wow, Danny, you really didn't spend enough time throughout the week thinking about things that were like interesting or funny that you wanted to share. But I'm like, you know what? I mean, if you're going to do a podcast every week for 4+ years, some weeks you're going to have more content, some weeks you're going to have less. The key is consistency. That's what I keep telling myself. One day if this podcast blows up, I feel like the back catalog, which will include this episode, that could be monetized one day. That could be something that could be productive in the future. Or it could just not happen. I just keep doing the podcast. I quit doing the podcast. I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just quit doing this. But then I'm like, I feel like at this point, I don't think I should quit. I think I've got something of a good thing going. You can't measure yourself based on downloads. I mean, you can. But I did hear this one guy. He was like, you shouldn't pay attention to downloads until you're 7 years in, 7 or 8 years in, bare man. And like, there are people around the globe that listen to this. So it's like, you know, you're just kind of like in your head, like, is this worthwhile and productive? But it's something that I can control. I feel like it's something I'm fairly good at. And it's also somewhat therapeutic, I feel. You know, you can kind of like talk through things out loud. Talking through things out loud is different than ruminating or puzzling over them in your head. So it's probably therapeutic for me as a person, even if it's not like, you know, fucking smartless. No $100 million deals coming through here. So this was an article that I read. It was about this woman, or the author of it, her name is Raina Cohen, R-H-A-I-N-A Cohen. She's a producer and editor for NPR's Embedded podcast and the author of The Other Significant Others, Reimagining Life with Friendship at the Center. So the basic premise of this thing is like your primary significant romantic relationship can be enhanced if you have a great network of friends, and your friends can take some of that kind of burden off of them, off of your spouse or your partner, you know? So this guy, Bert Ellison, he had these mood swings, and whenever he would get these intense mood swings, he wouldn't tell his wife about them first, but he'd reach out to his friend, Dan Driscoll, his close friend of more than 2 decades. He was going through this PhD program, this Bert Ellison guy was, and it was an emotional yo-yo. He wanted to quit, then things are fine. And, you know, she talked to his buddy first. And he goes, I didn't make a vow to Dan on my wedding day, but I'm able to uphold my vows, I think, more fully because I can process some stuff with my best friend before I bring a more polished version to my wife. Research has affirmed Mr. Ellison and Mr. Driscoll's approach. Are these guys gay together? Danny, that's not appropriate. A study measuring the stress hormone cortisol, back to cortisol, and married people found that spouses who felt satisfied with the social support they had outside marriage showed less physiological stress from day-to-day marital conflicts than those who weren't as satisfied. Just as in finance, in our social life, it's wise to diversify our portfolio. And then the author of this Raina lady, I thought this was kind of interesting. She's married. She has, I don't know if they have kids, actually. I don't think she said that. But she has 2 close friends. I assume they're women. I don't think she ever like clarified the gender of her 2 close friends. I assume they're girls if they're her friends. And then their friends have 2 kids. And they all live in the same house together. I'm like, is this fucking Big Love, dude? She said, our friends' perspectives, passions, and social communities have made me and my husband's lives fuller and more dynamic. It's also created opportunities for me to discover different dimensions of my husband. She noticed that he was being very like loving towards one of the other ladies' toddlers. Like, what the fuck, dude? Are they all fucking at night? I feel like they're fucking. But that, I thought this was interesting. She said, this is something the ancient Romans would have understood. Some classicists argue that friendship played the central role in ancient Roman society that marriages do today. A Roman might refer to a friend in terms of people now use only for a spouse, such as, quote, half of my soul, or the greater part of my soul. We're talking about their platonic friends. In the Byzantine Empire, oh, I know so much about that thing, pairs of male friends, who in some cases may have also been lovers, here we go, yeah, that's what I was thinking, would enter Christian churches to be ritually turned into brothers, united for life, and some were buried together. But now, it's all like, oh, your wife's supposed to be your everything, like the Michael Bublé song. And, you know, I like this article. It said friendships enrich romantic relationships, but of course they're also an end in themselves, providing deep meaning and connection far deeper than most of us have been told is possible. By opening up space to prioritize our friends, both types of relationships become more satisfying. I thought that was interesting. Maybe it's a nice little salve for my reticence to get into a serious long-term relationship. Because, you know, if you can keep the close friendships intact and not just like remove yourself from the world and just be like caught up in your lover's arms and gaze. But then if you guys start fighting, then you're fucked and you're all by yourself, you know. One exercise they talked about doing in that article was to draw a circle with yourself in the middle of the circle. And then you draw all the people around you and you make the size of the circle based on how close they are to you. You know, if you have like a best friend, that would be a big circle. Your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, would also be a very big circle. Hopefully a bigger circle than the friend. I don't know, you know. But then if your circles are just like one, your spouse or your lover or whatever is this giant circle, and then all the other ones are like little tiny ones, like, dude, that's not balanced, dude. So, okay, I think I need to work more on the relationship part than the friend part at this point in my life. But I don't know why. Well, this article just gives me cold comfort somehow. All right. Thank you for listening. 15 minutes in. That's not too shabby, guys. Not too shabby at all. You can follow me on Instagram at Danny Palmer NYC. The Danny Palmer Show. Also an Instagram handle. And Black Cat Comedy is an Instagram handle as well. So this has been fun. And yeah, I'm going to go watch season 2, episode 3 of Succession now. super into it. Be nice to Shiv, you guys. All right, thank you for listening, you fucking jerks.